The following is distributed by the Berean Call.
Welcome. You're listening to the audio version of the Berean Call newsletter. I'm Gary Carmichael. This month's feature article entitled, To Whom Shall We Go? Was written by and will be read by Tom McMahon. And now, here's Tom.
Thanks, Gary. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Have you ever been convicted by Peter's response to his Lord and Savior? I have. There are times when I catch myself not going to Jesus. It's not that I intentionally want to go away from the Lord. It's just that he's not always my first choice in everyday situations. So when verse 68 comes to mind, especially after having turned elsewhere and reaped less than gratifying results, another thought pops into my head. I must be stupid. Why didn't I turn to the one who has the words of eternal life? He is, after all, the God of all creation, wonderful, counselor, mighty God, the Alpha and the Omega, perfect in all his attributes, which includes omniscience. By comparison, the best input I can get from the world is the equivalent of being handed a paddle while going over Niagara Falls. Some would argue that going to God in certain circumstances is fine, but you wouldn't go to him to learn how to fix your plumbing or rebuild the carburetor on your truck. While there were times when I turned to Jesus for help in literally bailing me out of an I'll-do-it-myself plumbing solution, I recognize that his word is not a manual for home repair, auto mechanics, open-heart surgery, and so forth. Even in those endeavors, however, it is a very good idea to seek the Lord for his grace and mercy. While not instructing mankind in everything, the Bible is the only true objective source of information for knowing God and living one's life in the way he requires. Not only does it touch upon all aspects of how we live, it certainly bears upon everything having eternal value. The Apostle Peter tells us that through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. That would seem to cover everything worth being concerned about. Again, Peter exclaimed, You, Lord, have the words of eternal life. His words are found in the Holy Scriptures. So, if we call ourselves Bible-believing Christians, shouldn't we, then, be those who continually go to the Bible for all things that pertain to life and godliness? Sadly, that is not the case for most evangelicals. Mirroring the world around them, they seem to have an appetite for psychological counsel. A major reason for this attraction is that, along with the masses, they have the erroneous idea that the substance of clinical counseling is the stuff of science. Certainly the fact that the purveyors of the so-called medically related scientific wisdom have advanced degrees and are professionals would cause one to think so. However, psychotherapy is not and cannot be a scientific endeavor. The most obvious reason for this is that its subject is human behavior, a study which defies scientific certainty. True science can only concern itself with the physical side of man, those things governed by physical laws, for example, physics and chemistry. The non-physical, man's mind, is out of bounds to those in lab coats, for mankind's will and emotion mock the scientific method. Psychotherapy nevertheless maintains a clinical facade because of its pseudo-medical terminology. For example, one might think that a person's problematic mental health indicates that he is mentally ill and therefore ought to see a doctor and possibly be committed to a mental hospital. However, a mind, or anything mental, being non-physical, cannot be ill. Neither can it be examined by a doctor in a hospital for mental patients. These terms sound scientific and have influenced multitudes to think of psychotherapy in terms of medical science, but in reality, they're nonsensical. If psychotherapy isn't truly the scientific pursuit of humanity's mental, emotional, and behavioral well-being, what is it? It's talk, rhetoric, conversation. Research psychiatrist Thomas Saz, in his book, The Myth of Psychotherapy, Mental Healing as Religion, Rhetoric, and Repression, burns off clinical psychology's scientific mist. Quote, in plain language, what do patient and psychotherapist actually do? They speak and listen to each other. What do they speak about?